Well, there are two little parables that we will look at this morning. They are so small and so tiny that they have so much weight that this podium falls down every single time. So I'm going to just adjust it. There it is. They're so short that if you were to turn to the pages of this scripture here, I mean, you would almost skim over them. It's so short. But what we have within these two parables is a simple progress of the gospel, of how the gospel grows. We hear a word picture of how the kingdom of God grows. There are two simple word pictures that try to illustrate the way in which this kingdom of God expands. They're really just simple illustrations that are meant to inform us of the exponential growth of the kingdom of God, of how it expands. And the heart of these two parables is that it's meant to be encouraging. I mean, don't you get very excited about the fact that the kingdom of God has grown and is presently growing? We should be really excited about that very fact, that God has grown it in some obscure little region place in Palestine all those years ago. He's presently growing it now, and he will grow his kingdom. It's guaranteed. He's proven himself faithful, and he will continue to do his work amongst his people. I mean, doesn't it remind you about the fact that God is active in the world, and there's nothing that can diminish its increase? It's constantly growing. I mean, we'll see that at the very core of the kingdom is its inability to cease production. It's always going to produce. And that should give us great encouragement. I mean, the enterprise of the kingdom of God is always has positive growth. There's something beautiful about that. You notice that the past few weeks we've been looking at parables. There's stories in which Jesus uses to speak about the kingdom of God. And if you recall, two weeks ago, Kyle preached on Luke chapter 8, and it's the parable about the soul, about the one who sows in four different soils. And in chapter 8, verse 10, Jesus says that he has to speak this word, the word, so that they may see and always be seen, so that they may hear but never perceive and understand. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. You see, Jesus is speaking in parables, and it was, in one sense, what he's saying is, Isaiah long ago was going to prophesy that I would come and speak the kingdom of God to share this wonderful message. Even though they might not understand it, it is my joyful duty to proclaim the kingdom of God. See, Jesus is speaking in this method to give illustrations about the growth of the kingdom of God. See, clearly Jesus seeks to be most relevant in his day. And he uses the everyday utilities to speak about this incredible message of the gospel of God. I mean, in his estimation, it is the best way in which he wants to make the message accessible to those in his culture. Now, there are two ways that we are to tangibly remember from these verses the growth of the kingdom of God. The first one we see in verses 18 through 19, the seed, and in verses 20 to 21, 11. Now let's look at the first section here, the seed that grows. Let me just reread in verses 18 and 19. If you have your Bible, just I encourage you to keep it open. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." You see, of the context of Luke chapter 13 is where Jesus is speaking. We've seen Jesus now within the section, the passage just right before, Jesus heals a woman who has this incredible disability that has affected her for the past 18 years. You notice that back in verse 10 and 11, where this woman has this disability. How do you say that word? Thank you. Debilitating spirit for 18 years. And it's obviously affected her. It's obviously her whole economy, her whole life has been affected for the past 18 years. And it has shaped And everyone in the community obviously knows that this woman is totally disenfranchised because of this thing. It's a Sabbath day. And of course, all the people within sitting in the Sabbath or in the synagogue are wondering, what will Jesus do? Jesus, of course, heals her. And he does this incredible thing. And so that's why he says in verse 18, he said, therefore. In effect, what he's saying is, listen, the kingdom of God is one in which it grows. It takes effect over all people's lives. And so what he's doing here is he's speaking about the growth of the kingdom of God. That's the context. Jesus is addressing those with local lay audiences. And he clearly wasn't speaking to some international, conference of biologists that are analyzing this, the way in which this mustard seed. You see, there's another passage in Mark's gospel that actually says that this is the smallest seed. And obviously commentators or those who want to kind of detract against the gospel will say, Jesus was clearly wrong when he said that this mustard seed was the smallest seed. But nevertheless, Jesus is obviously speaking to those individuals who live in a world where they worked the field. They understood what a mustard seed was. You see, mustard was used for basic flavoring of food. I mean, it was an edible source. Some believed that it was parts of the plant was actually used for this medicinal purposes. And so what Jesus does is he uses this first illustration to proclaim about the insignificant little seed that actually comes and takes root in this garden. And it grows. Actually, we're told that this mustard seed probably grows to a tree to be about 10 to 12 feet tall. I mean, imagine that in your garden. You plant this little seed, and it grows within a few months or even years to about 10 to 12 feet. That actually is something that overgrows your garden. This past summer, Megan planted her first garden ever. You see, she's from Arizona, and in Arizona, you don't plant. You just have rocks that you just kind of kick around in dirt. So she planted her first square foot garden, and she was totally excited, and we planted all these different types of seeds in there, from corn to whatever. Anyway, squash overtook our garden. We had squash growing all the way to the back of our fence through our alley. I mean, it was crazy. Some of you guys received squash that were probably this big, and it just overgrew. And in one sense, that's what we have here with this mustard seed. Some obscure little seed becomes this massive tree so that it becomes a place where birds can come and perch on its branches, so that birds can actually come and find shelter from the rain under its leaves. I mean, that's the growth of how the kingdom of God is like. It's a place that people, that if we were to take the illustration now further, where people become into the kingdom of God, actually find safety and shelter, where people can come in and sit under the proper protection. This little seed becomes so big that it grows so that it's capable of having birds, all kinds of birds, come and sit on it. There's some incredible birds in Chicago. I walk my dog in the morning, and I usually go to Douglas Park, and it's just right in my area, and I love going there. I'm usually the only one that's around, and you can hear all the various birds that are around in Chicago and even in Douglas Park. There's so many cardinals, it's incredible. You see those red ones, they're so beautiful. Just this past summer, there was this unique bird that actually ended up being in Douglas Park. So many thousands of those birds experts came and camped at Douglas Park. It was an incredible thing. I, of course, didn't allow Sadie to go inside, our dog, go inside where all these people were spectating. But incredible thing. But just imagine in your garden all these birds sitting there on this mustard tree. This little seed now grows. That's the way in which Jesus is saying it's compared. The kingdom of God is like this thing. It is so small and it grows. If you look down in verse 29, Jesus then, he says a little bit even more. Look at this, the way he now uses that illustration to speak about the eschatological reality in which all peoples will come into the kingdom of God one day. Verse 29, and people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? It is like a mustard seed, and it grows to be a tree, so that those from the north, south, east, west will come and sit at this table in the kingdom of God. That is the size. That is the incredible advance of how the kingdom of God will grow. It is huge. It is ginormous. It is beyond these four walls. And we should be encouraged that it's not just a local expression that sees itself within the four walls of this Sunday service, but the kingdom of God on a regional level expands all throughout the city of Chicago. There are many people who are sitting under the shelter, under the reign of Christ, who are being protected because God has allowed them to be in His reign. One mustard seed grows. It grows to become a tree. So if we're not gardeners, if you couldn't care less about trees, well, then Jesus uses another illustration. He speaks to those who are bread makers or for those who like to eat. We all like bread, if you're able to eat bread. For those of you who just aren't able to eat bread because of your restrictions, it's okay. Jesus still loves, and He says, here's an illustration to those of you. He goes on, and He says in verses 20 to 21, and he again said, what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. You see, why does Jesus use the idea of leaven? You see, Jesus now uses leaven to represent the inward influence of the kingdom of God in the hearts of His people. It is the inward influence. If the mustard seed was in one sense, an outward influence to those outside, the birds coming in and perching, well, the leaven within grows the dough. And it's just this beautiful picture that we have, both inward and outward. That's the way in which the kingdom grows. And Jesus now uses this leaven to give us a picture. Now, we have to be clear here, because in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, Jesus already talked about leaven. And He used it actually in the context of the Pharisees, that they were evil. So Jesus, in one sense, this removes that, and He says, no, let me just look at this picture, the idea behind leaven. It grows. That's what He's saying. So He's not contradicting Himself. He's using this word picture to let the hearers understand that there was an incredible force of God that could not be retained. You see, yeast can't be retained. It's incredible. We all love bread. I love bread. I'm not talking about Wonder Bread. I'm talking about some good, delicious French sourdough, rye, wheat. I mean, some good artisan bread. We all love it. But you see, yeast is nothing more than a single-celled fungus that allows a big lump of dough to actually be good once it's baked. I mean, that's the incredible thing about yeast. That's what it does. It exists to create this dynamic food experience. I should get some water or something. Leaven is an incredible thing, and it grows. It grows inwardly so that it creates this incredible change within some dry lump of dough. Jesus uses these two word pictures to speak about the kingdom of God. It grows from one seed. It grows from some single-celled yeast to grow. And there's something beautiful about that. And there's something simple about that, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is not trying to be complex. He's not trying to use the most complex systems of cells. He's trying to say, this is simple. How does the kingdom of God grow? How is it compared to? It's compared to these simple everyday purposes, things that you use on an everyday basis. There are two pictures of the visible outward growth of the kingdom. The mustard seed and the invisible inward influence of the kingdom. the leaven. Both illustrations compare and speak about the reality of how the kingdom grows. It's always going to grow. It can never decrease. And that's the beauty of it. See, Jesus chose a mustard plant to represent this kingdom, his kingdom. Because the mustard seed, it has to die, actually, in order for it to reproduce and produce. I mean, that's the wonderful, beautiful picture behind the idea of a seed. It must die in order for it to get placed in the ground, germinate, and grow. That's the beautiful picture that we have in this passage. See, that's what Jesus actually is speaking about, his death. Look at verse 22, the next verse immediately following these two illustrations. He went on his way through town and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Luke doesn't make a mistake there by using this pointing toward Jerusalem. Is that a mistake there? He's pointing and signifying the very fact that Jesus is heading towards death. Jerusalem, the place where he would be betrayed. Jerusalem, the place where he would be hung on the cross for the sins of many. In 1 Corinthians 15, 35-38, Paul writes, "But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body, as he has determined. And to each kind a seed, he gives its own body." Something must die to give life. In other words, a seed has to die to bring life. That's what Jesus is actually using this parable as. Yes, to speak about the growth of the kingdom. But the growth of the kingdom cannot happen without the death of this one who's speaking the parable. Death must take place. So why does Jesus speak in this way? Well, because he speaks about the reality of the force of how the kingdom of God is growing. Yes, it grew then. And yes, it is growing now. And it will continue to grow. But he's calling those who can identify themselves in the kingdom of God to in fact die to themselves as well. That's the beautiful message of the gospel. It is death to self enables this incredible growth. And there's no other way around it. If we identify ourselves in the kingdom of God, we must, within ourselves, within the faith that God gives us, die to ourselves on a daily basis. We're reminded in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 10, that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, this idea of a mustard seed, this idea of this little seed that dies in order for it to grow, is actually a paradigm in which all those who would follow in the kingdom of God must as well partake in that. So, Holy Trinity Church, we are to die to ourselves. We are to die and say, "Lord, take full reign over my life. Take full control over the very things that I love and treasure, and I crucify them at your feet. I lay them down." See, that is in fact what Jesus does. He proclaims the message, the kingdom of God is at hand, and he tells the disciples and those around him to repent and to believe this message. Repentance is a very fact, a part of the Christian experience. And he's calling us to repent, to identify ourselves with that kingdom that is growing. We shouldn't be discouraged. We should actually be completely encouraged that the kingdom of God is growing. But we should join in and say, "Lord, how do we participate? How does my family participate in the kingdom of God, this growth that you're doing here within the city?" One of the things that I always had to correct myself as we were planting this church 4 years ago when we started off was, Lord, may you allow us to grow the kingdom in the West Side. And I had to constantly remind myself that the kingdom of God already is at work amongst his people. It's not just because we who decided to move into these neighborhoods and to say we're going to take the gospel back into this community. It's not because we did that and said, now God is present. No, we have to remember that God is present, that God is working, and God allows us, his children, to participate in his active work and his mission here. So we should be encouraged that he's already at work. And all we get to do cheerfully is to align ourselves with the kingdom of God that is happening in the West Side already, presently. All we get to do is align our lives to what he's doing. And may we, the only thing that allows me to breathe and to wake up every morning is that I would taste the very good joy of being this gardener, being a part of this garden, that I would taste the very good work of the labor that we produce, that we give into in this garden, that we would be able to taste it one day, taste the benefits, the harvest of our hard work. So, West Side, are you ready to plant? Are you ready to sow, to participate in the throwing of seed in our community? Are you ready to knead out the dough, and strain it out, and put it in the oven? And guess what? It'll grow because it has grown and it is growing. And isn't that a great picture of what happens in the end in verse 29? People will come. They will come. And what a great picture of the kingdom of God. And what a great picture it is, even within these four walls, that people have come from north and south, east and west. And so may we continue to give ourselves to that very work, to align our hearts and our lives and our households to the kingdom of God, to fully expend ourselves for that eternal purpose, that eternal treasure where many will come and sit at table and recline. We will put down our sowing, our seed bags. We will put down that plow that we've been treading through for so long, and we will recline at table. What an incredible picture, and what a glorious work that God's given us and entrusted us with. Let's pray.